Hello, my lovelies. Welcome to the Sacred AF podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Lena. Now let's have some radically honest conversations about being a rule-breaking, system-disrupting, sacred-as-fuck woman.
Hello, my dear sisters. This is Kristen Lena. I am so excited, jazzed up. I don't know why jazzed up came to me. Maybe because my next guest used to be a dancer. I don't know. Funny things happen between me and this woman. Let me introduce you to her. The illuminating, illustrious, amazing, and magically talented and gifted Christina Miglino is my guest today. And her bio and title is this. She's an energy intuitive and she's the founder of the Mystery School of Intuitive Intelligence. And when I talked to her about that bio, just briefly before we hit record, she was like, you know, I don't know, like I do all kinds of things and no one really knows what it is anyway. So we're going to talk about the magic that she weaves on the planet. I will personally contribute this. She is one of the most loving, connected, authentic, and generous people that I've ever met in my entire life. She was my friend before she became my spiritual mentor. She has guided me, helped me decondition from, is currently still helping me decondition from the patriarchy and the ways that I have been building my business up until recently, and really helping me to dive into feminine creation and what that looks like in business. And so I am A, eternally grateful to have her. B, super excited to have this conversation. I will just tell you right now, it's 11:11. I'm holding up my phone so she can see it. We're over video so we can see each other, but we're only recording audio and it's 11:11 right now. And she knows, and I know, we love the numbers. So Christina Miglino, first of all, thank you for being here and thank you for being you.
Oh, goodness gracious. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you for having me here.
So Christina has been so many things and has done so many things and is creating such beautiful, mystical magic on the planet with healing the feminine and healing the masculine as well in so many women that she works with. So what I would love for you to do is really kind of just share your story as it relates to right now, currently, who you are in the world and the work that you're doing.
You know, everything you just said is so beautiful. And I'll just, you know, it's like, what part of the story is the most valuable right now for people and all of that good stuff? Because I believe our stories are really valuable. And I have a lot of them, you know, so I'm like, I think first and foremost, what you shared about healing the masculine and feminine, you know, I just want to say that the first thing I just want to say is, this is very bold, but from where I stand, so as an energy intuitive, one of the interesting roles that I've noticed that I'm good at, right? Because it's more like noticing, like, oh, you have those moments where you're like, oh, I'm really good at this, huh? And I've had that experience about tuning into the collective consciousness and also noticing that often I'm like about 5 to 10 years in the future. And that is both cool sometimes and also feels like, oh, I also get to find the language to serve now. So that's an interesting place to vision into 5 to 10 years from now or more, you know, the future. And also I get to anchor at the present. And one of the things that I have been really tuned into right now, and I feel like this, you know, has come up between you and I, Kristen, and it's come up in the mystery school, and it just feels right for this moment, is in the collective right now, what I see is, I was saying this the other day, I was like teaching about the feminine, you know, people are like, the feminine is rising. And I was like, the feminine rose and she's pissed. Like the feminine is here and she is pissed. And this group of entrepreneurs, these women, bless their hearts for listening to me. Because they were like, oh, yeah, like something resonated in that, you know, with them. And the point in saying it that way is not, I am not a stand for women and no men. And I think that that's not true for everybody. I think that there are many women right now, and I have no opinion about this, but there are leaders, there are people, there are feminists out there going like, we don't need them. Like, let's just let them go, you know? And if I'm really honest about like this moment in time and collective consciousness and the energetics of that, I think there's some real truth to that. Now, there's many truths, but it's not my choice to say, okay, let's be rid of men and let's all just do this. You know, let's us women kind of lead the charge and forget about the men. I think it's the easier choice. I notice myself actually wanting to make that choice often. And I think I often do. Like, I already serve women in my work, and I already have more female friends than I do male friends. And I also am a single woman right now. You know, there's all these ways, and I should say that I typically date men, you know, when I'm in relationships. So it's fascinating to be in this moment. And I think the other option, and this is the one that I'm sort of like holding up in our vision, saying like, hey, do we want to do this different? You know, because we can replace a patriarchy with a matriarchy and sort of just do the same things, which I think would be on some level easier and on some level way less satisfying. And I think what we really want is like, what would it be like for communities to come together and every single human being, every soul have a place there? And that's what the feminine energy is actually capable of. We're capable of holding it all. We're like, everyone has a place. It might not be obvious what that is, but we're going to support every single individual to be part of this collective, because we are either way, right? So it's just interesting, because I would like men to play a role still. Like, I would like them to be a part of this picture. But I just think we're at a very interesting place where that's not necessarily a given. And I'll leave it at that for now. I didn't go into my story or anything like that, but that's what was coming up inside me as you asked.
And as you are all listening, Christina is the one that I've been working with. So I enrolled in her Mystery School of Intuitive Intelligence last year, so in 2020. So I had this amazing container going into this pandemic. And now I'm in her second year program, which is called Sacred Feminine Leadership. And how fitting that, you know, what we're actually talking about is exactly what you just said, where there are a handful of us in this program with you who are entrepreneurs. We have businesses, and all of us are married, and all of us are struggling in a very similar way with what I can call, because it's my experience, I can call this wounded masculine. Now, the wounded masculine comes through for me as well. It has. You and I met in a leadership container that was highly masculine, highly driven, highly, you know, go, go, go. And I, in working with you, have been deconditioning and pulling away from that mindset and that conditioning. And here you are bringing to the forefront, it isn't that the feminine, I love that you said the feminine is rising and she is pissed. I can resonate with that, as well as I want everyone to thrive. I want everyone to thrive. My husband, your future husband, all men, because not only are we wounded through the patriarchy, but so are men in so many ways. And so when Christina and I actually talk and we have conversations, they are extremely creative. They are co-creative. They are, it's an actual living, breathing entity in and of itself. So that's the magic that's getting woven right here today. So thank you for that. And yes, men get to be healed, and we get to figure out how to move forward in so many ways. One of the things I've learned from you is these female archetypes. We've talked about goddess, we've talked about priestess, and that isn't my, like, I didn't come in, because I know you work with a lot of women who are highly spiritual. They've been on a very spiritual journey. I know you are, you know, shamanic practitioner. You have all kinds of modalities of helping people and supporting people. And many of them, almost all of them, were new to me, and journeying and, you know, all of this energetics. And I love all of it. I'm just like geeking out on it, and it's new for me. And as I'm working with you in the Mystery School and in Sacred Feminine Leadership, I am claiming this not by fitting into, okay, I'm a goddess and I'm a priestess and I'm these things. Like, I get to create something that resonates with me. And I wanted to talk to you about archetypes because I know you have a whole, you know, your relationship with that. What's your take on the female archetypes that are out there that resonate with you?
Ooh, it's so juicy. I could go so many places with this. You know, first and foremost, archetypes for human beings are such a great way to see ourselves, you know, to see aspects of ourselves. And I love, you know, you mentioned shamanic work, and I do one of my strong lineages of mentorship and long-term studies has been the shamanic lineage with a teacher that I was with for many years, I should say. And that is very archetypal work, you know, because I think at the core of it, and this is kind of true for all the healing modalities that I've experienced, is at the core of them, they're the same. They say, let's take all the pieces or projections or personalities that we think we are, and let's merge them into one fullness of being, one soul self or truest self, you know? And I just love that place where we begin to really see ourselves in the myths and the stories of the woman. And for all of us, it'll look different. And what's so beautiful is that they do have sort of the shadow and the gift sides. Like they have these different facets too. So we can work out our quote unquote shit through the archetype as well to see it playing out. You know, what is the story of the princess? Who's calling her a princess and that's like a positive thing? And who's calling her a princess as a derogatory thing? And so on and so forth, right? There's endless archetypes we can sort of tune into. And I love mythology for the same reason, because it really helps us ground when we have stories, and they may be stories of our own ancestors, or they may not be. They may be collective stories of what it means to be a woman human, you know, in the world. I find those things incredibly healing in the work that I do with women, because sometimes we're at a place with something where just going into ourself, it's harder to see, you know, like the ego. When can the ego really see itself? You know, it's one of these kind of mysteries of the human experience, you know, and so the archetypes help us to sort of pan out and look at something and learn something and apply it to ourselves or not, you know. One of the ways we work a lot in the mystery school and just in the circles of women that I work with is I like to break it into looking at, I call it the three lineages, you know, it's ancestral lineage, archetypal lineage, and soul lineage. And this sounds like, oh God, whoa, like that's a lot, because it is, it's a lot. But it's expanding even more the places that we can go to feel resourced and empowered, where we can cultivate life force energy, where we can call ourselves back into wholeness, you know? So one of those ways is to like really tune into our human ancestors, you know, and I believe everyone gets to do that. Like, you know, if it at all interests us, women, men, whoever, like everyone gets to feel into their ancestors, because we are playing out our ancestor stories, whether we know it or not. So that's a great place to, you know, do healing work. And by the way, when I say healing, it's healing and creating. Like we're doing both all the time. It's transformation, you know? So I don't really think we need to be healed. I think we naturally heal and expand and heal and expand. So we can look to our ancestors. We can look at archetypal lineage, which is for you, the bitch, the slut, and the princess, right? Like this is your archetypal lineage. These are the places that you see a reflection. And you get to like do that dance of learning yourself through those archetypes, you know? And then the soul lineage is potentially, and by the way, like believe whatever you want, like take it or leave it. You know, I don't care what people believe or not choose not to believe. If you want to look at the soul lineage, you can look at past life or same life experiences. You can look at stories like, and this is related, similar to the archetype. You can look at stories of the saints or, you know, I think about my soul lineage and I see Mary Magdalene right there immediately. I see Joan of Arc, you know, I see these different women that for whatever reason have just jumped out at me in my life. And the energy, you know, even before knowing their story, the energy is so palpable between me and this woman, you know? And so, and that's true of even living artists. There are several artists alive today that I'm like, wow, we're channeling something so similar, so fascinating to hold all of this as my lineages, because we're very interconnected and we're very profound light beings. You know, there's a lot of information coming and going from us, whether we're conscious or unconscious of it. So I just thought I'd share that because I love how the archetypal work fits in there.
Well, and for me too, you know, where I have personally felt the most authentic truth, power, full self-expression is when I've been able to, willing to admit, and I mean the ego part, right? The admit, yes, I am this. I am this shadow, right? And how much I resisted and avoided and denied these parts of me. And in that denial, I leak power. I just leak power. And a lot of the work that I do, it is looking at deep conditioning. It is looking at the shadow. And for the longest time, my energy was spent, unconsciously, my energy was spent at denying these parts of myself that I thought were bad, wrong, improper, immoral, you know, the bitch being one of them, the slut definitely being an actual conscious decision of reclaiming that in my early slutty 20s. And the princess, which, you know, there's the, you know, one of the things I've learned from you in the work that we've done is this just powerful, it was the soul energetics around the low feminine, low high feminine, and the low masculine, high masculine. And, you know, we're all of it. And what is it that we are creating or attracting? I just know that when I've denied or shoved to the side or not wanted to look at these parts of myself that I deemed or I believe to be bad and wrong, or even shallow, or even not spiritual enough, right? Like all of the things that we do, that I was not whole. And that is the essence of what I'm hearing you say is like, really, this is about claiming all of it, our wholeness. And in the places that you and I have shared, you know, the containers that we've shared together, very typical containers, you know, very typical drive, masculine force, a lot of doing, a lot of overdoing, a lot of achievement. And this is, you know, if we look around, welcome to the state of the world, right? And so talk about your journey a little bit in, even just if it's just a story or two here or there. I know you have a lot of really powerful stories that led you here to this work that you do.
So it's interesting to think about the state of the world. Like what I'm experiencing right now is maybe even like the lack of the state of the world. Like I think there's just this fertile ground for completely transforming, I think is the right word, some of the structures that we've been living by for so long. And I'm not necessarily going to make, you know, comments about the coronavirus or anything like that, other than to say on a collective level, it's really had us take a long, long pause. And thank goodness for, you know, the feminine energy of listening. So maybe not everybody decided this was an opportunity to go inward, but maybe some people did. I mean, I got here by hustling a lot, which, you know, is interesting. And then realizing I really didn't have it in me, to be honest. I was like, I mean, I had the hustle in me, but I have felt at times in my life so deeply unsatisfied. And that's the best word I can think of to explain it, you know, that I knew in my life that every opportunity I got to sort of rise to the top, I did that. You know, every opportunity, whether it was like, you know, I graduated magna cum laude from college, or, you know, getting the job and then, you know, getting the raise. But every time I felt unsatisfied, every time. And it was like, it really hit me, I guess, probably, and this is not so much the spiritual side, which I can talk about that as well, if you want me to, but I just feel like it's important to say, you know, as far as we're talking about like the truest self and the false self and the ego, and there's all these different words, you know, to talk about these parts or even these sides of ourselves. And I just feel like every time I accomplished something, it was never enough. And I realized one day, I remember the day actually it was probably my late 20s. And I just remember this moment where I picked up my set of keys and it was so heavy and there were so many. And I just started bawling. Like I just started sobbing. And I sat down at my kitchen table and I took every key off of the keychain one at a time and I laid them out in a row. And I just had this reckoning moment where I looked at these keys and I realized I had the key to the bar that I worked at part-time, two keys to the restaurant that I worked at Friday through Sunday all day long. I had three or four keys to different people's homes because I was either house-sitting, taking care of their animals, or doing their gardening. I was doing the gardening for the men that owned the restaurant that I worked at. And doesn't end there. I had a key to the gallery where my art was hanging. I had three different keys to three different offices where I was doing my spiritual counseling work one day a week, part-time at each of these offices in three different towns. Talk about what I teach in the mystery school about like when we spread our energy like thin and through so many different portals and pathways. Man, are we selling ourselves short in doing that? And that's what I was doing. And I was seeing myself working so hard, so hard, and just barely kind of like paying the bills and doing the things, you know? And in my tears, I just thought, I basically, you know, sometimes we just have this moment. Some people call it like the come to Jesus moment, right? Where you're like, okay, I just woke up. Good morning. Hi, I would like this to be different, right? We finally surrender. Like, bless my heart. You know, I look back now and I just want to give her a hug because like, damn, she was working so hard. You know, she had a relationship and she was like running her home and her, you know, and I really did, Kristen. I like took each of the, I made the commitment. I never want to have more than my house key and my car key on my keychain. And I gave back every single one of those keys one at a time. And it probably took me eight or nine months to really like leave the restaurant and really give these things back, right? But one at a time, I closed each door and gave back the keys. And I, to this day, my keychain only has two keys on it. And I'm so grateful for that.
I want to go look at mine.
Yeah, right.
Let me go look at my energetic, like if I'm leaking energy somewhere from these. So it's just a great opportunity to look at where you're leaking energy, where you're just hustling. So,
and hiding.
Yeah.
Because underneath every single one of those jobs was me knowing that there was something much bigger and much brighter for me to be shining into the world, you know? And it wasn't about me, but it was like the impact of me holding myself small had a great impact, not only on me, on many people.
I love that story because it's new and I've never heard it. It's what I'm hearing is like, this is one of those ways where you weren't claiming yourself. It was, you know, scarcity and hustle and overworking, which is, yeah.
I mean, I really strongly believed in my personality self that said I wasn't capable. There were both sides, right? My true self was like, hello, you're a spiritual teacher. What are you doing? You've always been like that. You know, I have stories of just massive awakening experiences, and many of them happened when I was a little kid, you know? So it's not as if, and there's no right way, right? But it's not like I woke up in my late 20s. Like I knew what I was here to do when I was 8 years old. That was also devastating for me. Then I spent many years wanting to fit in. And because what do you do? You know, like I didn't know what to do. And I'm so grateful for all of it. I wouldn't change a thing now because I just learned the way I needed to learn, you know, but it was wild. I remember like seeing myself not choosing me. And I think when we do that long enough, what happens is we become very self-centered, which is funny, right? Because it feels like the opposite. Because then there I was, like all I could see was myself and my bills and oh my gosh, where am I with all of this? And it became such that's a very kind of like narcissistic place. And not to say that I don't know that that's quite the right word, but it was like, it's a very self-absorbed place to live. And I don't judge myself. I have a lot of trauma in my past as well. I was working through a lot of it. I was very aware. I was doing my work. I was meditating every day. Like I think that I did a good job, you know, but also it's interesting to see that I could have just kept being all about me and what was right in front of me. And oh my gosh, like, you know, scarcity is that. It's not like, oh my gosh, we should feel bad about how we got there. Not at all. You know, we wake up to it one day and go, oh yeah, I don't really want to think about myself anymore. Like I just got to that place where I was like, I'm kind of done with the victim story. Like I'm tired. Like I'm tired of being the reason that I can't go travel or do the things other people were doing. I like got sick of my story and living out the patterns of the past.
Mm. All right. Let me ask you this. If you were to pick the bitch, the slut, or the princess as an archetype to look through the lens of at your life, what do you see there? Because I mean, I know I see a whole thing. I see a whole high vibe, low vibe, hot, you know, I see the whole thing. What do you see? If you could pick one, what's the one that like is either has either been the most challenging for you or the most vulnerable for you, or what's the one that stands out?
Oh, it's such a great question because they all have a place. You know, I feel them all energetically. I would say I don't have any energy on princess because that was never a word that it came up for me or that came up in my family or anything, you know. Definitely bitch and slut. I'm like, hey, yes, please. Both of those for sure. I'm trying to see like which one do I want to dive into.
It can really be connected to, you know, there's such a interwovenness. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, for me personally, bitch is sort of like the nasty me. If I'm thinking about when I've been called that or whatever, you know, which is so funny. It's only been like once or twice, but it has happened. And then slut has more energy on it for me. And I think I know why. Like, thank you for letting me talk that out. I was like, I need to like, that's how I roll, you know, us Geminis, we're like, blah, 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 always needing to talk through everything. So slut, you know, instantly what it makes me think of, well, I'll tell you, I'll be very transparent. The first thing I think of is, man, why didn't I have a slut phase? Like, that's what I'm wondering. No, really. Like, that's what I'm a little bit like, did I miss the boat on that? And I think, yes and no, it's nuanced and I don't need to get into that right this second. I can always go there. Like I'm single. Why not? Like I could always have that phase if I really felt like that was right. I know I could create that because I'm very powerful. But what I think even more importantly, when I look at this as an archetype and I look at it in relationship to what you've been sharing, like the shadow and the gift, and really those are the same things, right? It's like frequencies of things and spectrums of things. And we don't really have one without the other. It's a fullness of expression. What it makes me think about is the journey of women in the eyes of the patriarch, in the eyes of what I should say, not even the patriarch, but the low masculine gaze. That's what it makes me think about. And in my own life, what that has looked like very specifically has been what I've noticed in the Catholic. So I grew up Catholic, going to church every Sunday. My parents, you know, each of them had a different way with the Catholic Church. My dad was way more conservative and my mom was way more liberal, but they both agreed on raising their children Catholic. So we spent a lot of time there. And something I didn't, as a child, I loved it, by the way. I loved the rituals. I loved the songs. I loved the prayers. I was very committed. I loved the angels. I loved Jesus, like Mary Magdalene, all of it, like the saints. I was super into it. You can imagine me as like six, right? And I wanted to like be this, a saint and follow Jesus. Like that was so exciting to me. Like, yes. Okay.
I just had this picture of you in your little white communion dress.
Oh,
I just
yeah,
got I had it, like one with of the veil and everything.
Yeah. I had that with the veil and a big poofy bow on the top. And then I also was confirmed. That was actually the last moment. That was my last moment in a Catholic church, I think. I was confirmed and then I stepped out of the entire thing. I think I was 16 years old. And I basically went home. This is so funny. This is so reoccurring now that I'm saying this out loud. Like I went home and I sat my family down and I was like, this is why this doesn't work, people. Like we had a moment and then nobody went to church anymore. Like that's what, like I'm 16 and I just created that. Okay. That's interesting. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's funny how I want to have these sit downs with like my authority figures. That's a thing. I'm just noticing it's a reoccurring thing, theme in my life. Let me just tell you why this doesn't work. That's what I do. Okay.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting choice and has created a life that there's a lot of fascinating experiences and conversations. So the slut thing is interesting in Catholicism because what I noticed is the shadow or the low masculine within that container often, and I only say this from knowing like relatives that are men that grew up in the Catholic Church, seeing that men often see women as, and maybe by no fault of their own, or at least on some part, this is a conditioned thing, is like either the slut, which is kind of funny that we think Mary Magdalene is makes no sense, right? The slut or the revered mother. The better than mother, the mother that we must like kowtow to, right? And that is so detrimental if those are the two expressions of a woman and the rest is sort of blurry, you know? And that's that's heartbreaking to me, you know? But I've noticed that I've attracted the energy of one or both of those things, which in a relationship is strange. I realized it though, like I woke up to it, you know, in a relationship where I was living with a man and I realized like, oh, you know, like this is the projection is he sees me as either like the slut, you know, like we can just like one and done, we'll get it, you know, we're going to sleep together and it's like that. Or it's like, oh, the mother who takes care of everyone and has all the house together and everything is like perfect and she's untouchable. The mother's untouchable. You can't have sex with that. So that dichotomy, I've just noticed, right? I've noticed it. And I've noticed how that has been my own, like, waking up to that within myself as well. You know, like, oh, I'm only good for these two things. Here I am right now as a 35-year-old single woman, really not either of those. I'm not really slut or mother right now. Like, I'm not exercising either one of those parts that I could, you know, if I wanted to. And I feel really good about that. Like I feel good in my body is what I mean. Like I'm just not in either of those places. But at one time in my life, I really thought I had no identity unless I was. So I didn't understand how to be a slut because I was never great at that. Like anyway, you know, I was a little afraid and growing up in the Catholic Church, certainly a lot of times you have one or the other. And I was more the like, whoa, I'm not sure what to do with that energy, you know, or you like go the other way. And there is a part of me that's like, man, I wish I chose the other route, but I didn't know how. Like I was just very kind of shut down. I would say my sexuality was very shut down for a very long time. And then the mother thing was never, I love kids. I'm great at the role, but it was never my priority. So then I was just like, who am I?
So it's interesting that you, as you're sharing this kind of the ends of the spectrum, the slut, the mother, I'm like, well, I currently am both, right? Like I actually am a mother and also a slut, which is kind of my point. Like, do you feel that this feeling of like having to choose, like, I can't be this. And I can't be this, because if I'm this, it negates this, or it tarnishes this. And if I'm this, then I can't be this either. So if that's the essence or feeling of what you're describing was your relationship with this, how to rectify this or reclaim this?
Yeah, I mean, now I don't really care about those. You know, I don't really have energy on it like I used to. It was really helpful, those archetypes, to see it, you know, like, oh, okay, this might be part of my issue, is what you're saying. Like, I want to fit into one of these, but I don't fit into either one. I also think, you know, there's also an issue with identity, but we don't need to necessarily get into that. Meaning personality, identity. I think we can get stuck trying to be identifiable. And then that also can be unsatisfying, because at the end of the day, we're so much more than that, than our ego or personality self. And not to say it's not important. It is. It can be vastly important for us to find this language for ourselves, you know. But now it's like, for me personally, yes, definitely seeing that it's all one thing, right? It's all one. It's not one or the other. It's a full experience. And I just don't have, at this point in my life, I've had enough of those experiences where I've just reckoned with myself, you know, and I've done the things where I get to love the slut, you know, I get to love the mother. And to be honest, I had to do the work to love those pieces, because they are within me, because every piece is within me. And that really helped, because when there's no energy on it, then it's like so much more fun. Like, I can really appreciate the lessons that both of those archetypes are showing us, you know.
I want to ask you this one last juicy bit. So I explained a little bit about the Mystery School of Intuitive Intelligence, and that I've been working with you, and I'm in my second year with you, and I'm in this just this magical, beautiful container of learning how to create from this divine, high feminine place, creating a business, which is masculine structures and all that. What do you see? Like, I know when I relate, when you say I see 5, 10, I see a little bit farther in the future, and I get really impatient. Like, I want to be there. But what do you see as, like, far as women reclaiming all the parts, as far as women reclaiming their bitch, their slut, their princess, their whatever archetype resonates, what's the outcome? Like, what's possible in doing this kind of work?
Oh my gosh. It's a great question. I mean, what I see is more extraordinary than most people want to hear. That sounds weird, but I believe that it's time for us to vision really big, to dream really big, to have faith in those visions, you know, and to let them be really big. I think we can diminish ourselves so easily, you know. But with that said, what I see is that I do see women kind of leading in the feminine, you know, really leading in kind of everything. Because that's sort of the nature of how the pendulum swings in time. And I think what's really exciting is it also gets to be really different, you know, different as in remembering that the feminine, when it's in its fullest expression, is deeply committed to community, is deeply committed to, like I said before, everyone has a place in this system, whether that system is the earth and humanity, or it's your household, right? We are so big and bold and fierce and powerful and capable that no, we don't have to extricate anybody. Nobody has to be booted off the island, so to speak. And what could it be like to grow a business? Oh, this is really juicy. Okay, so this is what's coming forward right now. So I was just having this conversation with a friend where we were talking about how you simply can't, and this is energy, right? You simply cannot remove the seed of energy that something is initiated from that thing. So meaning, no matter what that system is or becomes, however it began matters. So for me, in my business, for example, I definitely started my business from a place of hustle, where I was terrified and I had to work through a lot of things, right? And so it's very different now. But because I started that way and I've journeyed from that place, I will find myself back there and able to teach from that place too, right? Which is really, it's really cool because we've allowed the energy to continue to transform. I think a lot of times in systems, we might want to ignore the place where something started and pretend like it didn't start in that place. And I think that's what can be really, really challenging. So I say that because all of that to say that we can start things from a feminine place right now. It's not perfect, right? But we can start something, or even as you have, like we can develop something into alignment, into a place that feels easier, that you can flow and you can allow things to come to you. Like you actually get to have the experience that what you're creating is imperative. So it's not hard to hear it. The only hard part is when we say like, but I have 50,000 things to do or this is never going to happen. Well, that's what you're going to create. You know, so a lot of what we do is slow down and listen and be still because we get to realize like, wow, okay, so if I trust myself and I trust that there's some beauty and magic and mystery to this that I can lean into. So whatever you believe, I'm not saying, you know, you don't have to believe in God or goddess or love or universe or life force energy. It's like whatever language you want to put to it, the connectedness of all things, you know, that which keeps us moving into our growth and expansion. I think we're just at this massive opportunity of trust. Like, what if we could trust that? And that's also where we see so much like turning away from this too. Like, no, I'm not going to trust that. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's the opportunity. It's the risk. It takes courage, you know, but really what would it be like to create from a place that felt easy? Because we're definitely not taught that.
You know what? It triggered the memory of the conversation you and I had. And I quite literally remember you saying, what if this could be easy? And I was like, sign me up, because I had been doing it the way I had learned and been taught: hustle, grind, go, drive, like drive yourself into the ground. And I had driven myself sick multiple times, sick or injured multiple times. I know you relate. And so I heard you say that and I was like, that was exactly what had me step into the mystery school, because I was like, I'm unwilling to continue to do this. It's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my physical health. It's affecting my, when you said like the keys, I'm like, the keys, like, drop the keys. Like, I'm done. I'm done with the hustle. So thank you for that, because that really is it. That really is everything. And that is, I'll be honest, like I have been doing some deconditioning. Like, is that the truth? I don't know if it is. Maybe I can rewrite the truth, you know? So, and you know, I could talk to you about this shit all day long, because this is our jam. This is my happy place. Yeah. And it is time for us to wrap it up. I will say that you, without me remembering this, you are offering your soul energetics, which is healing the masculine and feminine within our own soul. So as one of, you know, as a free gift for those of you listening, Christina's gift to anyone listening is her soul energetics. And this includes the high masculine chart, right? Because I love that. I love that so much.
Well, I think that's why we started giving it away, because you loved it. Yeah. So I just thought.
Me personally?
Well, yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I was like this. I'm very visual. I also, when I see things, they make sense. And it resonated so deeply with me that I didn't have to reject the parts of me that were in the low, right? That in the low frequency, the low vibration, that part of my life of having, you know, feeling like I have to fix this. I have to let this go. I have to just the energy of fixing something or hiding it or denying it or shoving it away. Like, oh, okay. I just get to be aware when it's operating. So having that was such a great visual. So thank you for offering that for the listeners. And then I don't know if you remember what you said your favorite quote is, but I can remind you your favorite quote.
I love you. Keep going. Oh yeah.
No, I love you. Keep going. That should be. That's one of my favorites from you. What is.
Yeah. And our sister Edwina said that to us recently, and I go back to it all the time. because it takes, diffuses the energy of anything. Because if what is, then everything is manageable. That's also a quote from Issa Guicciardi, who was my shamanic and energy teacher for many years. Everything is manageable. You know, that's what she taught me when I took her Buddhist psychology class. It's like, ah, thank you. Like, everything is manageable.
Take the pressure off.
Exactly. Yeah. And what is, it's like, it's also, I mean, we don't need to get into this too much right now, but I know you and I both love the gene keys, right? And studying the gene keys. And if you don't know what that is, don't worry, look it up if you're curious. But I'm sure at some point you'll be talking more about this, Kristen, because it's so fun. But one of the things, like, so Richard Rudd says, is everything is natural. Which is sort of another way of saying this too. Like, anything that it has come about is natural because it's here. What is, you know?
I think about how healing that would be for just someone to get. And I say this often, you can't fuck it up. Like, that lands for me. Like, in my early life, it was like, if I make the wrong choice, if I do the wrong thing, it was like this high, high pressure getting it right. All of it, and how much that just crushed me. Like, it just crushed any level of enjoyment or fulfillment or even just being present. And when I tell people, like, listen, you can't fuck it up. Like, you just, it is, like, what is. So I love that. I love that. Love this whole conversation. I love you. I appreciate you. And I know you know this because I tell you all the time. Thank you for bending and contorting and twisting and transforming yourself into whatever, wherever you need to go, so that you may serve people like me and people like, you know, people who come into the mystery school. So I honor you. I revere you. I love you. And thank you for being here and talking about all this juicy stuff.
Thank you, Kristen. I love you dearly. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Love you. And guys, we will see you and hear from you and talk to you next time. Bye.
Okay, my lovelies. Thanks so much for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating and a review. Come find me on social or on my website, kristenlina.com. And remember, all of who you are is sacred as fuck. All the good parts and the shitty parts, all of you. The whole picture, the whole complete package is sacred. And remember, follow the good feelings, because what you seek is seeking you, and it's sacred as fuck. See you next time.